local content, locally owned, locally produced. The Brand Advocate. It's not a traditional newspaper, but a monthly free publication that goes beyond the stories of the day. Explore what motivates, celebrates, and entertains the people of Brant County. Look for the Brant Advocate in participating businesses and in select regions through the Brant News. To find out more, visit their website at brantadvocate.com. The Brant Advocate, a voice for the stories of Brant.
Welcome to another edition of the Brant Advocate Podcast. I'm your host, Mark LaFerriere. You can find me at Twitter, at Mark LaFerriere. I guess that's on Twitter, at Mark LaFerriere. Either way, you know where to find me on Twitter. And we have a great show. The show today, a little special edition focusing on the Brantford Film Fest. However, behind me, we have the Raccoon Wedding, who have a show in Guelph at Jimmy Jazz on Friday, November 15th. You can find more about them at theraccoonwedding.com. Great local band. They have an awesome collection of stuff on SoundCloud, many, many, many albums on iTunes, and you can find them at finer record locations in the region. Also, we'll be talking with Ashley Fournier of the Brantford Film Fest. The 2013 schedule is here. It's a good one. We are proud to be presenting one of the shows. The biography show is presented by us. We're really happy about that. It's called Real Life Biography Film Screenings. For the entire schedule, go to brantfordfilmfestival.ca, but check that out November 14th, 15th, and 16th. I'm with Ashley Fournier, the operations manager at the Brantford Arts Block, who's also a member of the working group for the Brantford Film Fest, and we are proud to be one of the sponsors of the Brantford Film Fest, one of many. Great, great event. We actually are doing the biography screenings. That's the one that that we've helped support, and we are really, really excited about the entire festival. Ashley, can you tell us a little bit about the fest?
Sure. So the Brantford Festival is now in its fourth year. We've been able to make some changes to the festival this year to make it a little bit more accessible for people. One of the things that we've changed is being able to do theme screenings. So as we were saying, the Brant Advocate had sponsored the biography screening. So we really tried to take submissions that we get from filmmakers all over the world and categorize them based on what people will be interested in. And that's really important. Just so people know what they're coming to when they come to the festival. So that's kind of where we've shifted to this year, and we're really excited to keep the festival going in future years.
Well, biography is a great great one for us because you know, we help tell the stories of folks. We actually have people who tell their stories. It's sort of a very biographical format that we have at The Advocate. But what are some of the other themes that people can what are some of the other screenings? I know you don't have one right in front of you right now, but what are some of those?
We have an activist theme, a comedy theme. We have an art film theme, which will be really great. Very accessible, really beautiful.
So what is that? Films about art or?
No, it's actually just beautiful, beautiful stories being told through just a really interesting medium. So not even necessarily very artistic films, but just beautiful stories being told in beautiful ways.
So take us through the process, because submissions are called at a certain time and then people watch. How many submissions? I mean, you have this working group that have to sit there watching movie after movie after movie. And I mean, that sounds great in a way, but you have to remember these are volunteers. And I love steak, but if I had it every day, I'd be begging for pizza. So how many submissions roundabout did you get this year?
This year we received almost 160 submissions. Wow. From all around the world. Yeah. Our working committee works really, really hard to go through all of the films that are submitted and pick the very, very best. And it's a difficult process. We definitely sit and have arguments over which films should make it and which films just aren't going to be in the festival. And it's really trying to pick those films you feel strongly about and advocating for them as much as you can. So
all over the world, like?
I think this year we had, I feel like it's 14 countries. Wow. We had people submit from. Really fantastic. This year we actually had more submissions from Canada than we have had in the past 2 years. So that's really interesting. But we have films from Vietnam, France, just all over the place. It's been really great.
I remember a few years back at the Film Fest, I was really, really busy and there was a matinee. I love going to the movies. I go every week if I can. It's kind of my self-care. But so that week I went to a matinee that was at the BRAC building at Laurier. And I remember there was a short documentary about a comic book collector in Toronto that I loved. And there was another film that was really, really good. The name escapes me. But then there was one that sticks with me all the time. It was about the history of beatboxing. And this film, I remember the character. I mean, it's a documentary, but I remember the characters because they were characters, these people who were creating beatboxing and where it's gone and like facts and figures from it. It's one of the, for whatever reason, that day, one of the documentaries, one of the documentaries that I find most memorable. What are some of your favorites, whether it's this year, previous years?
I think that we have very similar tastes. The documentary style and biography screenings are probably going to be the ones that I think are the most interesting. There's a film called The Coffin Maker that's really resonated with a lot of the committee members. And it speaks to the story of a man who creates coffins and takes a lot of pride in his art and his work. And he's really just sharing his story about what that means for him. So that's a really interesting way to look at things, is that when you're seeing a film, you're not just looking at a piece of art per se. You're listening to somebody's story, and the way that they tell that story is sometimes very inspiring. So
I remember also one year watching a great movie starring Sam Neill, all about eugenics, and that was interesting. And I didn't get to see the whole movie, actually, because I was at a meeting, but I got to see the director came, and I got to see the conversation afterwards, which was fascinating. So other than the film piece, what are some of the other sort of festivities or activities that are happening this year?
Sure. We definitely invite filmmakers out all the time to take a look at their films and talk to the people that are seeing their screenings. Last year, one of our filmmakers, Ann Tate, spent a lot of time talking to people in the community and really engaging them that way. And it's a really interesting conversation to have when you have people who create film for the people and then having the people respond to that. It's a great dynamic conversation. The other thing that we do is the gala on the Saturday evening. And that basically we give out awards for our filmmakers who've worked very hard. And we also just celebrate the fact that we have such a strong, supportive community that really supports arts and culture. And we're able to connect with people and kind of see why everybody comes to the festival. So that's another really exciting part of what we do.
Yeah, people have to come. I mean, when you look at the films, I went to a gala once, one of the galas, the evenings there. And I remember myself, David Bornstein, who's the chair of the arts block. I was the vice chair at the time. Becca, my partner, and Lisa Wood. We all went out afterwards. And actually, you know what? I don't even know if we went out for coffee. I think we might have just stood outside for another hour and a half talking about all the films we saw. And so, I mean, you come to the film fest, but then you also have that opportunity to have those discussions with people in your community, people you know. There's going to be people you know there for sure. And it's great. It's exactly the sort of thing that we say we want in a community like ours. And here it is. So when is it? Where is it? How can people find out more?
Sure. So the festival is November 14th, 15th, and 16th. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Our Thursday night screening is taking place at BCI. Friday and Saturday are both at the Laurier Brack Buildings. You can find out more on our website. It's www.brantfordfilmfestival.ca. Tickets can be purchased at a wide variety of local businesses, including Sophia's Bakery, Jam & Music, the Brantford Arts Block, Green Heron Books, Stedman Community Bookstore. So definitely lots of avenues to get tickets. And a screening is $5. You can find descriptions of all the films on our website. That will really help you to kind of make a decision about what you want to go see.
So $5. I mean, only $5 for a screening. Now, when you say screening, how many films is that? How long is a general screening?
Sure. A screening is generally about an hour and a half to 2 hours. The exception to that is the children's screening, which is a brand new thing this year, suitable for ages 8 and up. And you're guaranteed to see at least 3 films.
That's great. 3 films, $5, November 14th, 15th, and 16th, the Brantford Film Festival. A great time. I guarantee it. I've been to at least a screening every year, and it's wonderful. So come on out, have the conversations. Hop on Facebook. You know, you see movies, go talk about them and do that piece as well. I just want to thank you so much for being on the show. And we're very, very happy, the Brant Advocate, to be sponsoring the biography screening. We are really excited about that and the films that will be shown on that Friday, November 15th, very specifically. Friday, November 15th, 7 p.m., the Brant Advocate helps the biography screening of the Brantford Film Fest. And the whole day is the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, the 14th, 15th, and 16th, the whole days, I should say, of the Film Fest. Thank you so much, and thank you to the organizing committee.
Thanks so much. We really appreciate your support.
So many great, great films. I've gone every year. I've enjoyed it so much. The Brant Advocate is featuring the Friday, November 15th biography film screenings entitled Real Life. You'll be seeing things like Love Your Journey, which is a UK film, The Spokesman, Vital Voices, Constellation Quilt, The Coffin Maker, which is nominated for several awards, and 15 Reasons to Live, which is a Canadian documentary that shows 15 tales of human experience drawn from the themes of the book by Ray Robertson. So if you would like, please send an email to contact@brantadvocate.com. We have some tickets we'd be happy to give away. Brant Advocate, contact@brantadvocate.com. First come, first serve, we have 6 tickets to give away to you and yours. So give us a ring, give us an email, I guess, or even check us out at Facebook, facebook.com/Brant Advocate, or Twitter @Brant Advocate. Find us in any of those venues and tell us why you would like these tickets for the Friday showing, Friday evening, for the Real Life biography film screenings at the Brantford Film Fest. Check them out, brantfordfilmfestival.ca. Speaking of something that we are happy to be a part of, like the Brantford Film Festival, we're also happy to announce that Advocate Television is now broadcasting to more than 300,000 homes. That's right, it's been picked up as a regional show, which means it's airing in Brantford, Cambridge, Guelph, Kitchener, Stratford, and Waterloo region on Rogers TV, only on Rogers TV. So the best way to check it out is to check your local listings for those details. If you live in the Brantford, Cambridge, Guelph, Kitchener, Stratford, and Waterloo region, that's a lot of places. We were pleasantly surprised when we had friends of ours, Lucas and I, who live out of town, sending us emails or tagging us in Facebook photos saying, hey, I saw you guys on TV. It's wonderful to be able to share the stories of Brant and the stories of Brantford, Brant County, Six Nations with a greater audience to let people know some of the amazing things that are happening at the local level. And Advocate Television is just one way to do that. We had a great... I'm saying that word a lot, great, but I mean it, so hey, deal with it. We had a great program with Diana Bowl. Diana Bowl is doing part of this We Want No More, the No More Project. If you go to wewantnomore.com, you can learn more about it. It's not a program, it's a culture shift. The whole idea is to have boys, young men and men, all take a responsibility for understanding what we need to do around partner violence, around violence in general. A lot of you know that I run a program with Doug Doolittle called I Am a Kind Man, which seeks to do some of the same things. So we are very happy to not just be a part of things like the Brantford Film Fest, but to lend our support to projects or culture shifts like WeWantNoMore.com. When you open the site, the first thing you're going to see is that 61% of male participants in a study did not consider forcing sex on an acquaintance as rape. Let that sit in for a minute. That's a really disturbing statistic, and I think something that really needs to be addressed. And folks like Diana Bowl are addressing that. And Lucas Duguid, our publisher, had a great conversation with her on the set of Advocate Television that we're going to bring to you, and they can delve into a little bit more about the No More Project. So WeWantNoMore.com is the place to go. It looks at the culture of violence that males might perpetrate, violence against women. There's a lot of interesting stats. 13% of girls who said they have been in a relationship report being physically abused. 54% of students in grades 9 to 13 acknowledge dating violence amongst peers. That's a lot. And these stats are sobering, so they're actually trying to do something about it. There's resources for parents and community members. There's community links. There's a wonderful piece on violence against women in its different forms, from those who are 13 and under, those who are high school age, and those who are post-secondary and over 18. Very different dynamics for each of them. So Lucas and Diana sit down and have a conversation on the set of Advocate Television, and we are happy that that's going to be seen in places like Brantford, Cambridge, Guelph, Kitchener, Stratford, and Waterloo region. So we love repurposing the content of the television show. For those of you who aren't able to get it, you're not in the area, you're not able to have cable, we will be bringing the pieces that we do on that show to light by doing these things, by doing things like repurposing it for the podcast. So without further ado, Lucas and Diana Bowl.
Welcome back to Advocate Television. I am joined by Diana Bowl, coordinator of the Brave Committee here in Brent. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. Diana is also my boss, so I have to be really careful about how this goes. So right from the beginning, Brave.
Brave.
What is the Brave Committee?
The Brave Committee is actually, the acronym stands for Brant's Response Against Violence Everywhere.
Okay.
And the Brave Committee was established back in the late 1990s to help incorporate all of those agencies which help serve victims of domestic violence. So that includes everybody from the Ministry of the Attorney General to the shelters to probation, Children's Aid. There, we have about 21 members right now, and all of us work together collaboratively to ensure that every one of the survivors of domestic violence and their children get the best service that we can provide.
Okay, so you say there's, is that 21 agencies that are around
yes.
the table? Oh, wow. So that's Children's Aid, that's a lot of people around the table there.
It's a lot of people around the table, and they're all working together to end domestic violence.
Wow. Now, we joked earlier about you being my boss. You are my boss, but part of how I got to know this whole environment was, and I'm very much a layperson, as we discussed,
mm-hmm.
The No More campaign.
Yes.
Status of Women. We have some funding that has come into our community to help establish a program, which we, a committee was struck based on. Do you want to talk about that a
sure.
little bit?
Sure. Well, back in January, Status of Women Canada did fund a project for Brant County, and we had an awful lot of help from Phil McColeman's office, mm-hmm. for which we're very grateful. And we received over $180,000 for
fantastic.
A two-year okay. project. It's really great. And what it is specifically, it's about engaging young men and boys in helping end violence against women and girls. And it's specifically about young men and boys because not that many young men and boys abuse, but it's part of a culture shift. It's part of us being able to say to these kids, it's not just those people who abuse, but it's the way we look at women. It's the way we look at girls. It's the way girls look at themselves. And these are the kinds of things we want to change. So at the end of the day, we're not going to have a manual that says you must do A, B, and C in order to achieve this. But what we are going to have, we hope, is a community that now recognizes violence against women in all its forms and helps to end it. And I think that we can do that here in Brant County because we have a lot of people who are very engaged in this.
And I like where we, and I know that was one of the things that struck me from the very beginning, was that this doesn't end in a binder. This doesn't end in an instruction manual. That this is an authentic culture shift. And one of the analogies that we talk about around mm-hmm. the table is, in one generation we were trained to wear seatbelts, in less than a generation. So if as a society, not just as a community, but as a society across Canada, if we are trained to do this every time we get into a car, to now with my age group, I don't even think about it anymore.
That's right.
So if we can do that around getting into a vehicle, it shouldn't be a real far cry to shift the culture a little bit so a man never raises his hand to a woman again.
That's right. I mean, that's the hope. And it's not just that, though. It's about attitudes as well. It's about looking at music videos and saying, why in that video is the woman treated that way? Why is she an object? Why is she being hurt? It's about looking at video games and saying, how can we have a video game out there where they actually give more points for killing a street worker who's a woman? To me, that's appalling.
It's shocking when you unpack it like that, because there's what you see all of the time, and it's on commercials, so it must be okay. It's
that's
on
right.
TV, so it must be okay. It's in a movie, so it must be okay.
That's right.
But when you drill it out like that and you go, you know what? There really is a lot that's going on that shouldn't be. Now, we've talked around the office before about just understanding the concept of domestic violence, and sometimes we have a very narrow vision of that.
That's right.
So if you want to talk a little more about that.
Sure. What generally happens, or what has happened in the past, is people actually think that domestic violence is when it's a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's only, you know, the poorer people, those in a less socioeconomically advanced situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's only when there's hitting.
Mm.
And they don't think about the kids, because if the kids aren't hit, then the kids aren't affected. Well, you know, quite frankly, all of that is really untrue. Domestic violence can happen between straight couples. It can happen between gay couples. It can happen in lesbian relationships. It happens in dating relationships. We just call it something different, but it's essentially about when one person in an intimate relationship abuses the other person, and the abuse can take any form. It can be emotional. It can be monetary. If, you know, one partner is working and the other partner stays home and they deny that person money, then that's monetary abuse. It can be spiritual. If somebody has a certain belief system and the other partner denigrates it, the other partner doesn't allow them to go and worship in the way they choose, that's abuse.
So that's a full spectrum.
It is a full spectrum.
And it really, when we say unpack it, it really takes it out of just what we see in the movies as domestic violence, to understand that although that is a component, there are far more. Like there, you would have an entire family.
Yes.
Is struck by this.
Yes.
It's not just contained to those that are involved in the relationship.
That's
this
correct.
Could be grandparents, this is children,
absolutely.
This is, you know, extended family are all affected by this.
That's right. And in fact, that reminds me that another piece of domestic violence that we don't really think about, because it's not an intimate partner, but it's elder abuse.
Right.
It's where children, you know, grown children, treat their parents poorly, take their money, keep them in a home where they don't want to be. There's just all sorts of things like that we're seeing more and more of these days.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that with No More specifically, that if we can start talking to younger people about that, that they will be able to, as they get older, say, no, that's not okay. Because right now, they're still in a good place and they may see things like this at home. But if they do, at least through No More, they'll be able to say, that's wrong. What can I do to keep myself safe in the case of younger kids? Because younger kids really need to know that there are places they can go. There's the Kids Help Phone, there's Children's Aid, where they can stay safe as well. And it's not their fault.
So this is a fixable thing. Like, we're not talking about putting people on Mars. We're talking about something that is achievable.
I believe so.
In some relative term of time from now, whether it be medium term or long term, this is something that, as a community, that we can get around.
It's a choice we can make. And it's a choice we have to make together as a community, that do we accept this or not? Are we okay with 1 in 4 women in this country?
Isn't that remarkable?
Being sexually assaulted. 1 in 4 women.
Wow.
If you have 4 daughters, statistically speaking, one of them will be sexually assaulted or abused.
That's shocking.
It's wrong.
That's unbelievable. Getting back to the No More campaign,
yes.
And I've just got some notes here. One of the early principles that caught me was engaging young men and boys to prevent or interrupt the cycle of violence towards women. How is this different? Like, what did we do in the past? This is obviously one of the core differences between our program and others. So what did we do before?
Well, a lot of what's gone on before has been around public awareness and public education. So places like Nova Vita, places like Children's Aid, places like Gunakwasha and Brantford Native Housing that have domestic abuse prevention programs, go and talk to kids, talk to them about it in schools. Say, give them an opportunity to disclose to a professional in case something is going on. This is about after the fact, or it was about after the fact. So what we're trying to do here is we're trying to not even get to the point of interrupting, but get to the point of preventing.
Right.
So as soon as, you know, a young person sees a woman, a girl, his sister, his cousin, his girlfriend, his mother, being treated in a way that's not appropriate, for them to always keep themselves safe,
mm-hmm.
but for them to know that it's wrong, for them not to just accept it. And sometimes all a young person can do is just keep themselves safe.
Mm-hmm.
But if they know it's wrong, it's the step to that person not continuing the cycle.
That's absolutely, and as so many people out there, I'm comforted in the fact that I am a layperson in this environment. I count myself as one of the lucky ones that has to ask the big silly questions. Well,
sure.
I remember my first meeting asking, well, okay, why do we call it domestic violence? And I needed everything defined and I needed everything explained to me. So the part of the No More campaign will be that moving forward with a website, a robust website,
yes.
that answers some of those questions.
Absolutely. For the No More website right now, what we're doing is we're trying to get just sort of the information that answers those very basic questions for people. The No More website will not be necessarily a website that people go to if they're experiencing their problems. We'll certainly have resources on it for those people to access.
Mm-hmm.
But the No More website is about why.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need to do this? Why is this a problem? Why do we have to say, stop that? I don't do that. I'm not an abusive person. Why do I need to worry about
sure.
that? Well, we all need to worry about it. It really is a community problem
mm-hmm.
because it's gender specific.
Mm-hmm.
It's half the population is at a disadvantage simply because they're women. And mm-hmm. that's why we need the community involved. And that's why we need those who have the advantage by the fact that they're men
mm-hmm.
to become involved in helping stop the problem.
Now, we had going back a little while, we had soft launched, deployed the,
mm-hmm.
the look and feel that you're wearing today.
Yes.
What we have is the No More and then a cloud of words around it that really at the time touched on a need for some of these stakeholders around the steering committee table to have their voice heard
yes.
through this branding. No more hiding, no more shame, no more hate, no more rape. And this is some pretty raw language.
Absolutely.
And this has been a really neat experience for me to be a part of this, to be able to help steer this to where we say, let's use the real words.
Yes.
Let's go direct to, and not add words to it. Let's not make it complicated. Let's go right for it. Now, I think we have some photos from Men in Heels, where we had deployed. We had quite a number of people all wear the shirts.
Yes.
So, but yeah, as overall, I think it's been an absolutely extraordinary program. And now, where do you see it after 2 years? Well, what does it look like?
Well, part of the thing that we're doing at the website actually is we're right now making it more of a, or hopefully make it more of a portal for young people especially, but for anybody to offer their own thoughts and opinions on how we can help stop this. This is really about engaging those people. And so once we have those folks engaged, what we'd like to do is ask them, what would you like to see? I mean, our funding only goes this long. We don't think this is the program that should end.
Mm-hmm.
So would you think it's appropriate to have a club at your school? No more violence. We want no more. And then each school can choose whatever perhaps theme they want to work with on a yearly basis. And public schools can do it. High schools can do it. The universities can do it. Everybody can have that piece of participation where we have laid the groundwork for them.
Sure.
We've gotten them involved. We've gotten them engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are able to carry it forward because they're the ones who are carrying the torch on this. They're the ones we need to help make the change.
That's awesome. Well, listen, thank you very much for coming on. This has been really, really awesome. Hope to have you back again sometime soon and talk a little bit more about the wildly successful program of No More.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Stay tuned. Stay tuned for the next edition of the Brant Advocate podcast. Also, check out, again, brantadvocate.com. Check out those stories, the stories of our community and the stories of Brant, Brantford, Six Nations. And check out the Advocate television show that plays in places like Stratford and Guelph and Kitchener-Waterloo and all of these different regions that we're so excited to be a part of. Cambridge, Guelph, Kitchener, Stratford, Waterloo region, Brantford, playing at least one time a week in each of those markets, six times a week in Brantford on average, two times a week in many of them. Just check your local listings for details. What I like to do is just go on to Google and Google Rogers Schedule or Google Rogers TV Advocate Television. It's the only place to catch it. Behind me, you're listening to The Raccoon Wedding. Check them out, theraccoonwedding.com. They have that show Friday, November 15th, 2013, in Guelph at Jimmy Jazz, and they play so much good music all over this community. Check out wewantnomore.com to learn more about what Lucas and Diana Bowl were talking about. Luke Stugut had a great conversation with her. And check out the Film Fest, the 2013 Film Festival, the Brantford Film Festival, brantfordfilmfestival.ca. We are proud to present the real-life biography film screenings. You will see on that show that evening on the Friday, November 15th at 7 p.m. at the Brack Building, 150 Deluzzi Street, you will see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 films. 6 films for $5. That's pretty good, if I do say so myself. Films from the UK, Australia, the US, and Canada. A great documentary called 15 Reasons to Live is the headliner. It's a 84-minute documentary that tells the tales of 15 people and their human experience, drawn from the themes of the book by Ray Robertson. Also, I hear so much about The Coffin Maker, which is a short 3-minute film that looks at Marcus Daly, built his first coffin for a stillborn child, and he's carried the same commitment and care into every casket since, preserving on work and prayer. A pretty amazing lineup at the Brantford Film Festival. There's so many different days. The Real Life, the Laugh It Up comedy one, Overcoming the Odds, films about adversity, cult films, chance encounter films, art films, children's films, activist films, comedy films again, dramatic films, films about journeys, and just a great, great lineup. Every year I go, every year I'm impressed by the films I see. So check that out, brantfordfilmfestival.ca. If anybody ever told you there's nothing to do in Brantford, they were wrong, dead wrong. So until next time, until our next podcast, our next TV show, our next edition of the Brant Advocate, our next web update at brantadvocate.com, until next time, keep on advocating.